Incredible Dumb Show and the makers of Carmine's VibraClean Laundry Detergent are proud to sponsor this week's presentation of Classics of Suspense. So don't you dare touch that dial, as tonight we bring you the timeless tale by Robert Louis Stevenson, Dr. Jekyll, and Mr. Hyde. And remember, ladies, when your clothes become dingy with wear and soiled with stain, reach for the detergent that makes them good as new, Carmine's VibraClean Detergent. Yes, grass, mud, fuzz, and even engine oil is no match for the sparkling magic of VibraClean. Take it from me, your average stay-at-home mom. Your husband and kids will thank you for it, and 4 out of 5 housewives prefer it to the leading brand, including me. Get VibraClean today! Now let us take you to the streets of Victorian London, where you'll find that beneath the elegant atmosphere lays a seedy underbelly of malicious intent. Listen, if you dare, to the strange case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Good evening, gentle friends. My name is John Utterson, Esquire. I'm afraid I have some terrible, terrible news. Dr. Henry Jekyll is dead. Murdered by a fiend, a devil, by the name of Edward Hyde. What's that? You say you can't believe it. Well, I can assure you. The entire tale is wholly unbelievable. And yet, it is remarkable how this incident came to be. I will never forget my friend, Henry Jekyll. And I will certainly never forget the moment I first heard of Mr. Hyde. I was walking on the east side with my distant cousin, Richard Enfield. We passed a noticeably red door on the facade of one of the houses. He stopped and said to me,
"You know, John, I saw the most ghastly spectacle in front of this door only 4 weeks ago. I was on my way home from a late-night rendezvous when I spied a little girl running down the street. She was pursued by a man dressed in black, brandishing a cane. He drew closer and closer until the scoundrel ploughed right over the poor little thing. Well, of course, this caused quite a stir on the street. All sorts of people arrived on the scene."
"What the devil was that about?"
"Oh, that poor girl!
There's a man who did it. See here, you! Get away from me!"
I felt I had to intervene. I told him I saw the entire thing and that he most definitely trampled this girl. If he should try to escape, I would see to it that Scotland Yard had a detailed description of his person and would make sure his name would be defamed throughout London. The man looked at me with a look so ugly it sent chills down my spine. He glanced at the men and women gathered around, then addressed me.
"Very well. If you wish to make capital of this, I am at your mercy. Of course I wish to avoid a scene. Name your price."
I told him the price I thought adequate for the girl's care. He told me to follow him. We went to a boarding house in Soho. He went inside and came out with a cheque bearing a signature of someone respectable who I shall keep anonymous.
"I trust this will suit your needs."
I thanked him and asked him his name.
"Hyde. Edward Hyde."
Then he slammed the door in my face.
"Now that is an odd story, to say the least, Richard. May I ask, what about the name on the cheque? Surely it must have been a forgery."
"I thought as much, but the cheque went through the next day, verified by the bank. I was absolutely shocked."
"Whose name appeared on the cheque?"
"Oh, I shouldn't say."
"Richard, please."
"Oh, very well. If you must know, the signature it bore belonged to Dr. Henry Jekyll."
Interesting. Thank you, Richard. I must be going. Good day." Henry Jekyll. How could a man of such repute keep company with a man like this Mr. Hyde? Upon further research, I found that Jekyll had made out a new will and testament. Normally, I wouldn't trouble myself over such a thing, but curiosity got the better of me. I examined the will and discovered Henry had left his entire estate to his friend and benefactor, Edward Hyde. I suspected something amiss. Certainly this Hyde character was up to no good. Perhaps he had some piece of blackmail on Henry and was using it to extort the good doctor's wealth? From that moment, I was committed to tracking down and confronting this new friend of Henry Jekyll's. If he could play Mr. Hyde, I would be Mr. Seek. I kept watch over the door of Jekyll's residence. I waited for 3 days, hoping to encounter this creature. Soon Mr. Hyde showed himself. He was small of stature, seemingly young, but walked with stealth and strength. Mr. Hyde, I take it.
That is my name. What do you want?
I'm an old friend of Dr. Jekyll's. Mr. Utterson of Gaunt Street? You must have heard my name. I see you are going in. I thought you might admit me.
You will not find Dr. Jekyll. He is away from home. How do you know me?
One moment, please. Will you do me a favor? Will you let me see your face? I have never seen Satan's signature so ingrained upon anyone more than on that man's face. Thank you. Now I shall know you again. It may be useful in the future.
Yes, it is well we have met. Here is my address.
The card showed an address in Soho.
Now, how do you know me?
By description.
Whose?
We have common friends, sir.
Who?
Jekyll, for instance.
He never told you. You lie!
Come now, there's no need to be cross. I could hear Hyde's maniacal laughter ringing in my mind. I never seen a man in so bent with malice. I made up my mind to meet with Jekyll and try to talk sense into the man. It was a task that proved to have more than a little difficulty.
Please, John, do drop this nonsense dealing with Edward Hyde.
But Henry, surely.
John, I do appreciate your concern. I would never venture into a partnership lightly. My reliance on Edward Hyde is one of strained circumstances, but it is entirely necessary to my work.
And that is why you've made him the beneficiary of your latest will?
Yes, that. I suppose you disapprove.
As your friend, absolutely. As your lawyer, it is my duty to carry out all your orders concerning your estate. But if I may offer some counsel, I have heard many things about this Hyde character.
John...
Most of them quite horrible. I would well advise you to reconsider.
Thank you, but I must insist. It's good of you to worry, but it is not as bad as you think, my friend. Here, to put your mind at ease, I will tell you this. The moment I choose, I can be rid of Mr. Hyde.
You're positive.
Without a doubt.
Very well. I will trust your judgment.
Excellent. Thank you, John. Thank you. I know it is strange, but I have a great vested interest in Hyde. He has become critical to my latest research. By the way, I heard you two met the other night.
How did you know?
Hyde informed me. From his description, I'm afraid he may have been very rude to you. Please accept my apologies for him. I hope that won't deter you from executing my estate as my lawyer on his behalf.
Of course not. But I cannot say I shall ever like the man.
I'm not asking that, John. I only ask for justice. For my sake, you must make sure he's taken care of after I'm gone.
After you're gone? What do you mean by that, Henry?
I'm sorry, John, but I must get back to my work. Excuse me. Mary, please show Mr. Utterson out, won't you?
Of course, Dr. Jekyll.
Thank you, John. It's been a pleasure as usual. Good day.
Thank you, Dr. Jekyll. Good day to you.
Mary, I'll be in the laboratory. If any come to see me, tell them I am not able to be disturbed.
Yes, sir. Right this way, sir.
Mary, have you ever seen Edward Hyde? Does he come to the house often?
I can't say, sir. He does come to the house, but he never comes to the front like a gentleman. Always uses the back entrance, the one leading to the doctor's laboratory.
You've never seen him, then?
Not face to face, sir. I've only caught glimpse of him through the window here and there. Frightful chap, if you ask me. Always gives me a shiver any time he comes. Ugh. Still, we've all been given orders to do what he asks if he ever needs us.
Mary, will you do me a favour?
What, sir?
I'm afraid your master trusts Mr. Hyde a great deal more than he should. If you should hear of anything that may mean harm to Dr. Jekyll's reputation, please contact me immediately. Will you do that?
Yes, sir. I will, sir. Goodbye, Mr. Utterson.
I left Jekyll's household with a little more confidence than when I arrived. Something did not feel right about this whole affair. What could Henry be up to, trusting his work in the hands of such a man? Months went by, and I heard rumors of Hyde's escapades. None were polite, to say the least. It seemed Mr. Hyde reveled in the unscrupulous. His exploits did nothing to calm my anxieties over Henry Jekyll's involvement with him. The doctor had also seemed to be shunning the public eye. He held no meetings with patients and very few guests. A year later, Mary came to see me in a panic. That morning she came to see me was the day my fears grew ever graver. Just a minute. Hold on, please. Mary?
Oh, Mr. Utterson, I had to see you. I'm so sorry to bother you, but I had to go.
There, Mary, calm down, please. Catch your breath, dear, there. Have a seat and tell me what the matter is.
Oh, sir, it was terrible, simply awful. I saw the whole thing from my window last night.
At Dr. Jekyll's?
No, sir, this was at my house. I had just gone up to bed about 11 o'clock. By chance, I looked out the window and saw the most ghastly sight. I saw two men walking down the street in the moonlight. One of them I couldn't make out, but by his bearing and clothes, I'd say he was a gentleman. The other I knew right away. It was Mr. Hyde, it was. The two bumped into each other, which Mr. Hyde took offense to. The gentleman apologized, doffing his hat to Mr. Hyde. I heard Mr. Hyde yell at the old man. Horrible language, sir, horrible. As the man turned to call for help, I saw it. Mr. Hyde took his cane and began to beat the man mercilessly. He just kept beating him and beating him. I saw the old man's blood fill the sidewalk. I couldn't take the sight of it. I fainted from the shock.
Oh, dear God.
I woke this morning, hoping it was all just a bad dream. But sure enough, the police were there this morning, surveying the body and everything. You told me to tell you if I ever saw anything that might endanger Dr. Jekyll. Well, I shudder to think of what could happen if anyone knew they were in cahoots.
Yes. Thank you, Mary. You did the right thing in coming to me. I'll talk to Dr. Jekyll at once, but tell no one else unless it be the... Oh, for goodness sake. Yes, who is it?
Mr. Utterson, sir. Officer Bradley of Scotland Yard, sir. Might I have a word with you?
Forgive me, officer. How can I help you?
Unfortunate circumstances, I'm afraid, sir. There was a murder last night. Your card was found on the deceased.
My card?
Yes, sir. If you wouldn't mind, sir, could you please accompany me to the station? We'd like you to identify the body and ask you a few questions.
Yes, of course. Just give me a moment, please.
Who's this, may I ask?
This is Miss Mary Poole, officer. She came to see me about a personal matter. Would you mind if I sent her to my associates? She's been through a very stressful ordeal.
Oh, of course. My apologies, miss.
Mary, here is the address of my friend, Mr. Enfield. Go there, tell him I sent you, and he will make sure you are cared for.
Thank you, Mr. Utterson.
You are very welcome. Lead on, officer! I was led to the coroner's office. Was shown the body. It was, as Mary described, simply ghastly. The poor man had indeed been beaten to death, his body covered in bruises and blood.
Do you recognize him, sir?
I'm afraid I do. This man was one of my better clients. Gentlemen, this was Sir Danvers Carew.
Sir Danvers? Are you sure?
Yes, very sure.
Perhaps you might be able to shed some light on this, then.
The officer held up the head of a broken cane. I recognized it immediately. It was the very cane I had presented a gift a year ago to Henry Jekyll.
Do you know who might have used this, sir?
I believe I can take you to him, sir. Follow me.
We'll return shortly to the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, sponsored by Carmine's VibraClean. Ladies, the good people at Carmine's Household Chemicals know just how hard it is to keep everything neat and tidy. Try as every housewife might, and I should know because I'm one too. You just can't stop a stain from happening. Coffee's a pain, mud is a mess, and makeup powder can be a chore. And you don't even have to mention the mess peanut butter and jelly makes on your children's Sunday best. Well, good news. Carmine's has the answer. VibraClean laundry detergent. Using the latest development in chemical science, VibraClean is able to lift even the toughest grease out of the fabrics. No stain is too tough for VibraClean's patented detergent formula. Whether it's Junior's dirty baseball uniform or little Sally's tea-stained dolly dress, you can rest easy knowing VibraClean is on the job. Next time you're at the pharmacy, ask the clerk where you can find Carmine's VibraClean. He'll be glad to show you. He was when I asked. Just remember that name, VibraClean Laundry Detergent by Carmine's Household Chemicals, a proud American company. Now, let's rejoin John Utterson as he delves deeper into the case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
I led the officers straight away to Hyde's address in Soho. Much to our chagrin, we found our suspected perpetrator absent from the scene. To make matters worse, the landlady was most unpleasant.
What's that eye scandal done this time, eh?
We can't stay there this time, miss.
Well, how on earth do you expect me to help you if you can't tell me what he's bloody done? Not that I wouldn't believe it. Lazy villains always stirring up something round here. Coming in all hours of the night, bringing them dolly-mop Judies back to his flat, reeking of cheap flash-out gatter and opium. Not that I would know about such things, mind you.
Madam, please. Do you have any information as to Mr. Hyde's current whereabouts?
No, sir, I do not. I ain't no nose, but if I did see him, I'd have given it straight away. Rather see him locked up than have to deal with this lot of the bling coppers, no matter how much he pays me in blooming rent.
No, see here, miss.
Officer, please. There's no need to bother her any more. Thank you, madam. Here is my card. If he should appear, or if you should hear anything about where he may be staying now, please call upon me. We left there with more frustration than anything else. I bid the officers good day and headed toward the next order of business, informing Henry of Hyde's crime. Surely, after such a feat, the good doctor would finally listen to reason. I arrived at Jekyll's home around noon and was shocked by what I saw. Henry looked completely horrid, as if he hadn't slept in weeks. His reaction to the news of recent events seemed to skewer his nerves even more.
Dear God, Sir Danvers?
Yes, Henry. Killed with the very cane I lent you, which I can only assume you gave Hyde.
Cane? I did lend Hyde the use of it. Did you inform the police?
No, of course not. Carew was my client, but so are you, and as your friend I would never willingly endanger you, but as your attorney I'm bound by the rules of Her Majesty's government. It would be very hard to save you if you're found to be an accomplice to murder.
Yes, yes, I understand.
Now, do you have any idea where Hyde is or where he may be hiding?
No, I don't. I...
Please, Henry, tell me you're not foolish enough to hide this man.
No, no. I assure you, John, I am quite finished with Hyde. I swear I will never set eyes on him again. His work is finished. He will not be getting any help from me.
But do you know where he could be? He seems to have vanished from his flat in Soho.
Oh, he's quite gone. You don't know him like I do. He's quite safe, wherever he is.
How do you know that?
Oh, I have grounds of certainty that I cannot share with anyone.
Henry, one more thing. I must ask you, was it Hyde that dictated your will and testament be changed?
Yes.
I knew it! The man planned to do away with you and take what was rightfully yours. Why on earth would you submit to such a thing?
John, I am at a loss. I can't say I truly trust myself completely anymore. But I assure you, I have had a lesson. Oh God, Utterson, what a lesson I have learned!
Thank you.
I left Henry and reassured him I would do all I could to protect him and his reputation. The time went on. While no sign of Hyde himself surfaced, tales of his debauchery spread like plague through the rumour mills of London, each story as distasteful as the last one. With Hyde gone, I tried to quiet my mind on the matter. Still, the question nagged at me. How did he manage to escape? Henry, on the other hand, seemed to re-enter public life. He went out with friends, enjoyed himself, even held frequent dinner parties. 6 months later, Henry returned to his seclusion. He admitted no one, not even his most trusted servants. Then that all-too-fateful night came when Mary came to my door. Once again, in the grips of panic. Mary, what can I...
Mr. Utterson, please, come quickly. It's Dr. Jekyll. I'm afraid something's happened to him.
What? What's happened?
He's holed himself up in his laboratory. Hasn't come out in days, sir. And the sounds we hear coming from there...
I'll grab my coat. You were good to come to me, Mary. Lead the way.
Oh, thank you, sir. Bless you, sir.
Jekyll! Jekyll, where are you?
He's still in his laboratory, sir.
Show me to him.
Yes, sir. This way.
We went to the back of the house, to Jekyll's study, wherein lay the large red door leading to the doctor's private laboratory. I heard the crashing of glass behind it and the knocking over of tables.
Yes, sir. Let me call him for you. You should hear him as he is in private.
Very well. Proceed.
Dr. Jekyll?
Who is it, blast it all?
It's me, sir, Mary. Mr. Utterson has arrived. He wishes to see you, sir.
Go away, you stupid girl! Tell him I am not seeing anyone!
See Mr. Utterson?
Yes, that doesn't sound like him at all.
It's not him, sir. It can't be.
What are you saying, Mary?
We all fear the worst, sir. Dr. Jekyll's surely been murdered. 8 days ago, we heard a ruckus in the laboratory, and Dr. Jekyll cried out, calling on the name of God. He sounded in pain, sir. And then the orders began coming.
Orders?
Yes, sir. Every day since, we've received written orders to send to all the local chemists. We had them delivered, but the orders grew more and more demanding each day. I don't think Dr. Jekyll is writing them, sir.
Do you have one of these orders? Let me see one. Mary passed me a slip of paper from an envelope. It started off in Jekyll's clear handwriting, asking for a certain group of chemicals, but then gradually slipped into a more grotesque style. A chill ran down my body. I feared the worst. I rushed downstairs and demanded a servant get me an axe. I was going to break that door down and expose Jekyll's murderer.
Mr. Utterson, what are you doing?
That's not Dr. Jekyll, Mary. It's Mr. Hyde. Hyde! Come out and surrender yourselves!
Utterson! Utterson, have mercy!
That's it. I'm coming in! Stand back, Mary. 1, 2, 3! Dear God, we're too late. Before us laid the twisted body of Edward Hyde, wearing clothes that seemed to be far too big for him. He had impaled himself on a piece of broken table leg. The room had been ransacked completely, save for one table upon which sat several beakers of fluid. I looked around and found even more disturbing sights. Notebooks filled with Jekyll's notes had been defaced with obscenities written in Hyde's hand. A portrait of Jekyll's late father had been torn to tatters.
Mr. Utterson, look here.
Mary showed me a large envelope sealed, with my name inscribed on the front.
I found it in the doctor's desk, there in the study.
I opened the package. In it I found transcribed a new copy of Jekyll's will, this time naming me his successor. The second document it contained startled me even more. It was entitled My Last Confession by Dr. Henry Jekyll.
John, if you are reading this, then I have surely seemed to have disappeared under mysterious circumstances. It is time I confess to you the entire truth of this affair. Since my father was institutionalized at the asylum, I have been fascinated by the duality of man. I wanted to find a way to rid humanity from its innate evils. Using a variety of drugs I found from local pharmacies, I conducted private experiments on myself. For several years, the results of these experiments were inconclusive or outright faulty. Then came the events of 1 year ago. Whether it was the exact combination of drugs, or as I now believe, imperfections present in that specific batch, I experienced great pain, dizziness, and blacked out. When I awoke, I found myself feeling completely changed. I was energized, youthful, and filled with a dark, carnal passion. I looked in the mirror, and for the first time I saw the face of the man I had become, the face of Edward Hyde. Through Hyde, I could experience life to its fullest, all its dark pleasures, while keeping Jekyll's name and reputation absolutely safe. For a time, it seemed the perfect marriage. Then, all changed the night Hyde killed Sir Danvers. I vowed never to become Edward Hyde again. I underestimated him, though. Edward developed a lust, indeed a love of life. He did not want to slip quietly away. In the year that followed, he grew harder and harder to control. Eventually, I could not control the transformations. I would fall asleep as Henry Jekyll and awaken as Edward Hyde. I have tried to find the same grouping of chemicals from that first night, trying to find the antidote. My search is proving fruitless, and I fear the worst. I fear Hyde will soon take over me completely. Worse, I believe he knows full well the punishment that awaits him, and he is terrified. He is a wild animal that fears the cage, and I shudder to think what he may do. I beg you, John, do not judge me too harshly. I am as Icarus, flying too close to the sun, doomed, I see it now, to fall. Say what you will of Hyde, but please let my name be spared this horrible, horrible smear. I pray God will have mercy on my soul. Your friend, Henry Jekyll.
There you have it, friends. In his own words, Henry Jekyll was indeed killed by Edward Hyde, tragically erased by his own creation. Before you speak ill of my comrade, I encourage you to look into your own soul. Who among us has not faced the dark little voice urging us to act on what we know we should not? Henry simply indulged his dark side far, far too far. And in the end, it consumed him as an uncontrollable fire consumes a house. Good night to you, friends, and may God forgive us all.
You have been listening to Classics of Suspense, through the magic of the interwebs, on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. This original radio drama was adapted by Brad Oxnam from Robert Louis Stevenson's classic novella, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and featured the voices of John Malden as John Utterson, Darcy Wantese as Mary, and Brad Oxnam as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Join us next week for another exciting adventure. Until then, this is your announcer, Mrs. Brock Stannings, wishing you a happy Halloween. This is the IDS, the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.